Okay. How you guys doing? Welcome to the Svarim Sale 2023. My name is Benny Berman, and I'm this year's event coordinator. We have an excellent month planned for you guys, so please check out the events calendar. Now, for the first event, we wanted to bring in somebody special. So we brought in Mr. Steve Savitsky. Mr. Savitsky is the former president of the OU. He is chair of the board of ATC Healthcare, which helps provide healthcare professionals with the highest quality staffing available. And he's also president of the B'nai Tzion Foundation, which through partnerships around the globe, helps accelerate Israel's growth and strengthen the Jewish world. Wow. Mr. Savitsky, besides for that, is also an author. He's also an author. Mr. Savitsky is what we would call a Ben Aliyah, a man who is continuously growing and one who continuously wants to make the people around him grow, the world to grow. Now, it's my pleasure in introducing Mr. Steve Savitsky, the author of Kan Tzipor.
I don't think I can have a more friendly audience in front of me, since I have some wonderful people who are here. Thank you for coming, and surrounded by my family as they come in. Baruch Hashem, glad to have all of you here. And very, very honored that the official launch of my book, The Kan Tzipor, Inspiring Stories and Seizing Magic Moments of Opportunity to Do Chesed, is being launched right here at Yeshiva University, which is the place it should be launched at. I have to say that the book came out several months ago, put out by Feldein Press, and thank God it has been very, very successful. The people at Feldein Press are extremely happy with the results. They've called me several times to tell me it is among their very best sellers. Considering I'm not really an author, I think that's quite something. Sometimes I myself wonder, how did I ever write this book? And I think that the answer really is, if you look at life and you look at events and you look at the Torah, there are always new opportunities to find new explanations. And this is exactly what happened to me. I think as Mr. Berman, the future president of Yeshiva University someday, told us that I'm a business person, but I study Torah, and I love Torah. And the Torah is a shira, that's what it's called. It's a song. And why is it called a song? Because songs have a way of inspiring people. Songs also have a way of growing. You know, last year I read that there were almost a million new songs that were written. How is that possible with just some instruments that you have a million new songs being written? And that's what the Torah is. The Torah is a shira. All of us can look at it and find new things, new ideas that they never saw before. I'm sure this happens to you every single week. And for me, particularly, one week when I was studying, maybe it was the Parshas HaShavua, I'm not even sure, but I was studying about the mitzvah of the Kan Tzipor. And all of you know that mitzvah, it's in the Torah, it's in Parshas Ki Tzeitzei, and it's very, very short. It's really very, very short. The Torah tells you, Ki yikare kan tzipor lefanecha baderech. One day, you're walking along, and you happen to see a bird's nest, or whether it's on a tree, whether it's on the ground, and you see the mother bird hovering over the chicks, and the Torah tells you, well, you know, if you'd like those chicks for yourself, you can have them, but there's only one way. And the Torah tells you, Shaleach tishalach esayin esavanim tikach la v'man yitav la v'harach tiyamin. And if you do that, if you send away the mother bird, and then you take the chicks for yourself, you're going to enjoy it. L'man yitav lach. It's going to be great for you. V'harach tiyamin, your days will be lengthened. And as I studied that, I started to ask myself a question. This seems like such a strange mitzvah. First of all, it starts with Yikarei You just happen to find a Kantzipur as you're traveling. You're on life's journey. You're doing whatever you're doing. And all of a sudden, there it is. There's a bird. And does the Torah ever tell us, Ki Yikore? I mean, it happens by accident? No. We prepare for everything that we do. We prepare for Shabbos. We prepare for Yontif. All of our life, we prepare for the Olam HaEmes. We're constantly preparing. We never have a mitzvah that we don't prepare for. And yet, here's a mitzvah that the Torah tells you. You cannot prepare for. How's that possible? And second of all, as I thought about it, I said, wow, what a great mitzvah. L'man yitav lach, you're going to feel great about it. V'harachti yamim, your days will be lengthened. It's a fantastic mitzvah. However, I would venture to say 90% of all the people that I know never do this mitzvah. How many people really do it? 10%? So you have this greatest mitzvah in the world, Kantzipur, and yet hardly everyone does it, and the Torah tells you the reward. And so as I started to think about it and ponder, I realized that there's got to be a lot more to this mitzvah. And as I thought about it and thought about it and looked at every one of the mefarshim, I myself came up with what I call a sod. Now, you know, the Torah is divided into four different levels called the pardes, shat, remes, drush, and sod. The sod is maybe the highest level. Maybe this is a sod. And I said, maybe I found a secret in the Torah that I discovered for some reason, that the Kantzipur, this mitzvah, was not just a mitzvah of sending away a bird, but it was really a mitzvah for life. Because as we travel in life, we're going in the regular path. We're coming to the YU farm sale. We're going to a YU basketball game. We're walking on the street on Amsterdam Avenue. We're doing anything in life, the regular things we do, and all of a sudden, an opportunity comes along, a special moment, and I call those Kantzipur moments. Special moments in life when God literally, ki yikare, God calls out to you and says, here you are in this place at this time, what is the reason for it? And once I realized that this mitzvah could be so much, I said, I want to start to look around, because in my lifetime, I said to myself, I've got to have a Kantzipur moment. Sometime it will happen. And Baruch Hashem, I was very fortunate that I found one, and I started to talk about it. And as I would speak, and I would go to Shabbosim to speak on behalf of the OU or partners in Torah, I would always speak about the Kantzipur, and people would come over to me and tell me, you know, I had a moment like that in my life. I said, really? What is it? And they would tell me this incredible moment in their life, and I would say, how long ago did this happen? And they tell me, 25 years ago. I go, 25 years ago? And you still remember every little detail? I said, of course. It's indelible. We'll never forget it. I'll never forget that moment as long as I live. It was one of the greatest moments of my life. And I said, wow, that's incredible. And then I myself came across the greatest Kantzipur moment that I ever had in my entire life. And my family, who's all here, know the story, but I love telling it over and over and over again, because this Kantzipur moment not only changed my life, changed the life of the person who I met, and today is changing the lives of literally thousands and thousands of young people. So I'll tell you the story, because I think it had to be the story. Even though I have many, many stories and new stories, thank God once I wrote the book, people would call me and give me new stories, and hopefully, maybe there will be a sequel to the book. My granddaughter in Israel, Ilana Glatt, already gave me the name for the new book, Continued, that's what she said, we should call it. But hopefully there will be a sequel to the book. But I want to tell you the story. But before I do, I just want to tell you an incredible quote. This is a quote that I saw, not from a big goan or big rabbi, but from a very, very interesting person who always had a lot to say, Sir Winston Churchill. Listen to what he said. He said, to each there comes in their lifetime a special moment when they are figuratively tapped on the shoulder and offered the chance to do a very special thing, unique to them and fitted to their talents. What a tragedy if that moment finds them unprepared or unqualified for that which could have been their finest hour. How many people probably had great opportunities, never even realized? And so what did I try to achieve in by writing the book? As though my family knows, I want everyone to become an observant Jew. Not just a Torah Jew, but an observant Jew. Look around. Think about, why am I here? Why did God put me in this cafeteria at this particular time? Why did God put me any place that I am? There's a reason. If we believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mechadesh Betuva B'chol Yom Tamid, if God, the God literally who rules and controls the world, that if there's a blade of grass that grows and a leaf that falls from a tree, it happened because of God. And so therefore, what I wanted to do this morning, this afternoon actually, is tell you this one story. Because when I came here to Yeshiva University, I had to tell this story. Not only because it's the greatest story that touches my heart every single time I tell it, but because it's here, it's Yeshiva University. It's a story of YU. And here's the story. It's 2009, June of 2009. I am the president of the OU at that time. I was president for about 7 years and then chairman of the board for about another 6 or 7 years. So between 2002 and 2014, those years I was either chairman or president of the OU. When I was president of the OU, it was June of 2009. And during my tenure as president, you all know, of course, about NCSY. Everyone knows NCSY. In our world, it's extremely important. Very, very important. And NCSY, 25,000 young people every single year are involved in NCSY. And I thought that we've got to expand the borders of NCSY. We've got such great know-how and technique. Let's see what we can do. And so I decided, along with the people on my board, to start an NCSY chapter in a very important country in the world. The country is Argentina. Why Argentina? Well, even though we make a lot of noise in the world, there are really very few of us. People don't know that. It's a big secret. We don't want the world to know. They think, you know, the NCSY and OU did a program once where we went to various cities in the world. Moscow, we went to France, and we went to San Francisco, and we stopped people on the street, and we would ask them, how many Jews do you think there are in the world? Now, there's 7.5 billion people in the world. How many Jews do you think there are in the world? A billion? 2 billion? I'm ashamed to say that we're 15 or 16 million. More than half live in Israel, then about another 6 million live here in the United States, and the rest are scattered all over the rest of the world. Canada, 300,000, England, 300,000. Maybe Soviet Union, France, has maybe 400,000. And one of the largest countries in the entire world for Jewish population is Argentina. And most people live in Buenos Aires. It's about 250,000 people. Assimilation rate, about 70%. So I said, let's start. And so we started an NCSY chapter in Buenos Aires, Argentina. Very, very successful, doing a great job. And then they called me. They said, please, come to Buenos Aires. We want you to see the fruits of your labor. We're having so many new things that are going on. Please come to Buenos Aires, Argentina. And so I took a delegation, just a few people, about 7 or 8 people, and we decided to go to Buenos Aires strictly for the weekend. We're going on Thursday. We're going to be there. We left Wednesday night. We'll be there Thursday, Friday, Shabbos, Sunday, coming back Sunday night. We're going to meet with about 14 chief rabbis. I don't know how many there were. There were many, many chief rabbis. But we met with chief rabbis, and we met with everybody else. And then we had NCSY events, chock full, morning to night, the minute we landed. So we went. We come to Buenos Aires, Argentina. And on the very, very first day, on the very first day that we come, I'm in a shul called Sukkot David, a beautiful shul in Buenos Aires. I'm in that shul, and I give a speech to a whole group of people, and then they basically tell me we're going on to another shul. We're about to go to another shul. Someone comes over to me and tells me, by the way, there's a very interesting program on the third floor of that building. What is the program? They take college-age students and they teach them Torah. Monday, Wednesday, whatever, girls, Tuesday, Thursday, boys, go see it. It's really interesting. I said, I don't have time. I'm really busy. I don't have time. Please go take a look. So I go up to the third floor. I look in the window, I see a group of boys studying, college boys, that's what they look like, you know, the way that you would imagine, with one teacher. Interesting, I look in the window, okay, great, I'm ready to leave. As I'm ready to leave, the teacher sees me, and the teacher comes out and says, please, please, I know you're here. We heard you're here from the United States. Say a few words to the boys, because it'd be nice to know that there are people who care about you. And I like to do that because sometimes people don't understand that when you're a Jew, it's different than anything else in the world. When you're a Jew and you live in Buenos Aires, Argentina, I know they don't understand it, but God forbid if there's a recession, as there was, people from all over the world are going to contribute to help them out. It's not true of other people, but it's true of us because we feel this connection. And so I said, okay, fine, I'll come to talk for a few minutes. I spoke to him for a minute or two, but I don't speak Spanish, so what was I going to do? So I said, does anyone here speak Spanish? There must be someone here who speaks English. Anyone speak English? One young man raises his hand. He raises his hand. Yes, I speak English. Wonderful. Come. Translate for me. So I give a little speech, and then I'm getting ready to go because it's late already. I'm behind schedule. And I ask him. I said, what's your name, first of all? I don't know. He said, my name is Martin Leibovich. Martin Leibovich. Good-looking guy. 6'4", 6'5". And I asked him, I said, so how did you learn English? So he's very shy. He said, well, I know English. No, where did you learn English? He says, okay, I'll tell you. He says, you see, I'm actually a very good basketball player. And I have a scholarship. And I play basketball for a school in the United States. It's called Barry University. It's in Miami. It's a Catholic school. It's a Division I school, which means it's the best of all the divisions. Sheehan University, despite everything, was Division III, so you should know that. But it's a Division I school. And he said, I play basketball. I said, wonderful. I said, wonderful. I said, and I see you're here. You're learning Torah. It's really interesting. You're enjoying it. He says, I'm loving it. I'm loving, you know, learning Torah. I said, great. I said, but let me ask you a question, Martin. What happens when this is over? You have to go back to the Catholic University in Miami in August. What are you going to do then? He doesn't say a word. My kids all know the story, but it's really, really so heartwarming to me. He doesn't say a word to me, but he starts to cry. Tears start coming down his eye like this. And I start crying because I said to myself, what? Here's this young boy. And then I start thinking about my whole thesis. Concipar. Wait a second. I'm saying to myself, God, did you put me in this room on a Thursday for 5 minutes to meet this boy? I mean, I'm in this room, and here's this young boy. I just ask him, what's going to be with your life after you go back to Barry University, the Catholic University? And he starts to cry. And I said to myself, okay, God, I guess this must be a Concipar moment. See, I like that term, Concipar moments. I'm trying to, people say, you're writing a book. I said, I'm not writing a book. I'm starting a movement. A movement is Concipar moments. Like, you know, people ask for, I don't know, like in our family, whenever we don't understand anything, my wife always says, could you give me the Rashi on it? Okay, we have Rashi. I mean, it's not just Rashi. It's, okay, explain it to me, you know? Used to be, you all understand, someone says, could you Xerox something for me today? They don't understand it on this side. But if they say, you know, you give me a Kleenex, okay, today they don't understand it. But a Concipar moment means those special moments in life when God literally calls out to you and you're doing something else. That's what the special moment. And so I say, it must be my special moment. God, obviously you put me here for a reason. And so I say to him, listen, Martin, we don't know each other. We never met each other. Now, for the first time, I'm seeing you. I have a great idea. I said, what's the idea? I said, I have a great school for you to go to. He said, what's the school? I said, it's called Yeshiva University. He said, I never heard of it. I said, well, it's in New York. I said, it's a place you can learn Torah. I said, and guess what? I think you could even make the basketball team. I think so. And so I call on the phone. I have my cell phone. Now, you know how it is with your cell phone. I go up to the mountains, Monticello or whatever. You hardly can get a call. Here I am in Buenos Aires, Argentina. I call my cell phone. I call my friend Johnny Halpert, who's then the coach of the YU basketball team. The phone rings, and one ring, he picks it up. It sounds like he's next door. I said, Johnny, I don't know what I'm doing here. I'm in Buenos Aires, Argentina, but there's a young man right here. And this young man plays basketball for Barry University. You think he could play for Yeshiva University? He starts to laugh, of course. I said, can I put him on the phone? Gets on the phone. My friend Johnny says, oh, Martin, very nice. You know, I heard you met Steve Savitsky. Maybe you'd like to come to Yeshiva University. We'd love to have you. It would be a great place for you to learn Torah. In any event, he hangs up, and I talk to Martin. And I said, well, Martin, I said, what do you think? I think about it now, because sometimes when I think about it, I say to myself, how did I have the nerve to ask this young man, who I met literally for about 3 minutes, to change his entire life and move and go to Yeshiva University? And he says to me, I don't know anything about it. What, you know, I never met you before. I said, but this is my Katzipo moment. This is my Katzipo moment, okay? God put me here for a reason. In any event, this is Thursday. I say to Martin, Martin, think about it. Saturday night, they're having a big Malava Malka, gigantic NCSY, hundreds of people coming. I said, are you going to be there Saturday night? He said, of course. I said, great. Let me think about it over the weekend. The moment I got out, I quickly called my wife. I said, you wouldn't believe it, but I met this incredible young man. I think I had this incredible Kantipur moment. I told him to come to Yeshiva University. He said, what? Yes, to come to Yeshiva University. I said, yeah, I think it's a great place for him. Anyway, Saturday night, gigantic NCSY event. We have a Rabbi Yisrael Lishak, if some people know him. He's a tremendous speaker. He speaks in Spanish. He's from Mexico. He's giving a most inspiring speech to the kids. The kids are having a great time. I don't understand a word that he's saying, but I know it's fantastic because I would do anything he said. I have no idea what he's talking about. And I'm looking around. Martin, where are you, Martin? I'm looking around and looking around. He's not there. The meeting's over. I'm walking out. As I'm leaving, walking up the steps, who's there? Martin. And he has a girlfriend. She's even Jewish. Her name was Pamela. Believe me, she didn't look like, I would never know she's Jewish. And I learned, of course, once I met him, that I realized that he comes late to everything he does. So that's why he was there, late. But anyway, I said, Martin, what do you think? How about it? He said, I'll tell you, Mr. Savitsky, from the moment we met on Thursday till today, I have not been able to think about anything else but our conversation. He said, but my whole life would be changed. I go to Barry University. I play basketball there. I have a full scholarship. I don't, I mean, it sounds like so much. I don't know. He said, but I have to think about it. I said, okay, think about it. I said, if you're interested, let me know. I come home on Monday. I tell my whole family about it. And I said, I don't know if I'll ever hear from him again. I don't know. I know what it's going to be. So about a week goes by, 2 weeks goes by. All of a sudden, I hear, well, I had a BlackBerry at those days. Remember those, right? Okay, I had a BlackBerry. And all of a sudden, the buzz. I look, Martin Liebowitz. Quickly, I pick it up. Martin, how are you? He says, I'm great. He said, but I don't think I could come. I said, why not? He said, my parents just, you know, like, I have a lifestyle now. My parents are nervous. I go to a new school, everything starts all over. I don't think I could really do it. I would love to come. I said, great. So you know what? Why don't you give me your parents' phone number? I said, and I'll call them. And so my wife and I get on the phone. We speak to his parents, lovely people. And we try to explain why it'll be a good thing for him, and so on and so forth. We go back and forth. A week goes by, 2 weeks goes by. Finally, his parents say, you know, if he can get a scholarship to Yeshiva University and he really wants to come, okay, let him go. Let him go to Yeshiva University, you know? And so I call Martin and I say, Martin, you ready to start on this journey? He says, yes. I said, okay. I said, but let me give you one word of advice. The Yetzirah is going to try to stop you. I tell you right now, no matter what you want to do, he's going to try to stop you from coming here, from coming to Yeshiva University. He said, no, Mr. Savitsky, I really want to come. I said, great. So I call Yeshiva University, Office of Admissions. I tell them the whole story. They are unbelievably gracious. And they tell me, let's send me his transcript and let's look at everything. And let's find out financially he probably needs a scholarship. Anyway, goes on for a few weeks. Finally, they come back and they say, yes, we can really take him on a scholarship. There's a few dollars here or there that we have to make up. I said, don't worry, I'll work it out, not a problem. And I said, so he's in? He said, yes, if he wants to come, he's here. It's now probably around July sometime. Martin, I made sure never ever to tell Martin to say a word to his coach or to say anything. God forbid, if it didn't work out, what was going to happen? And so finally I called Martin and I said, Martin, I have the greatest news in the world. Yeshiva University is willing to accept you. He said, wow, that's incredible. This is all, remember, from this concept for a moment, literally 3 minutes of my life. He says, I'll come. I want to come. I said, great. I said, but now you have to write a note to the coach in basketball. Tell him that you're not coming. And he said, okay, can you help me? I said, no, I'm not going to help you at all. I'm going to basically let you write your own note. And so what I want to read you is the note that he writes. This is a 19-year-old boy. And he writes this note all by himself. It has nothing to do with it. Dear Coach Gonzalez, unfortunately, I am writing to give you some very, very sad news. It's extremely hard for me to write this email to you, but I know deep in my heart that there's no other way for me to go than to tell the truth. As you know, I am Jewish. And as a Jew, there are certain things I can and I cannot do. I was raised in a secular family and never got involved with Judaism. As I grew up, I started to learn about my religion and hoped to make small changes in my life. I was getting more involved, but obstacles were always placed in my path that did not allow me to pursue my Jewish identity. Let me give you a few examples of the things I was trying to achieve. I was determined that one day I'd only eat kosher food, keep the Shabbat, and study Torah. At Barry University, these goals are almost impossible to achieve. I had just about given up hope. Could you imagine? Here's a young man. It literally, his neshama was calling out to him. And he had no idea how could he ever find a way of living a Jewish life. He gave up hope. He gave up hope, and then he says, but one day, Mr. Steve Savitsky, the president of America's Orthodox Union, came to my study group. He was visiting Argentina on a mission, telling me that a special university called Yeshiva University, there, everybody is Jewish, and they will enable me to lead a completely Jewish life, studying Torah with great rabbis, eating kosher, and keeping the Shabbat. And then he talks about how we apologize. And he says, I'll always be grateful. And says, my dream had always been to become a Torah Jew. That's the note he writes to the coach. Here's what the coach says back to him. Dear Martin, I was extremely surprised to hear about your decision. We had great plans for you this season. As a coach, I am disappointed. But as a person, I understand that you're following your heart and your religion. May God bless you. I hope you achieve your goal of becoming a Torah Jew. Good luck in New York. This is what the coach writes down. And so now we're all set. It's the end of July. Martin's coming at the end of August, starting school in Yeshiva University. We're all excited in my entire family. Wonderful. The day he's coming, it's in August, near the end of August. We knew that day would be the day when every plane was canceled in the entire New York area. That was the day when they had the 10 Makos, Arbat, Choshech, you name it. Everything was there. Planes were canceled like crazy. On the news, that's all they were talking about. Martin was supposed to come that day, of course. He came from Buenos Aires to Miami. We were waiting, my wife and I, for the call because he was coming. And finally, he calls us and says, Mr. Savitsky, you were right. The Yetzer Hara is trying to stop me. I said, Martin, do you want to come? He says, you don't know how much I want to come. I said, great, stay on the phone. He stayed on the phone. My wife kept him on the phone. I called quickly, JetBlue. Any flights at all from Miami to New York at all? I said, yes, we have one flight left the whole day. And the flight's almost full. It's leaving in about an hour. Oh, unbelievable. Any seats? One seat. A middle seat. I said, middle seat? Martin loves middle seats. He flies to Israel on middle seats. That's a joke. Okay. But Martin, I book him for the flight. He's coming in. We're coming to Kennedy Airport now. It's 12 o'clock at night. He's finally set to come to New York. I know my family always makes fun of me when I do this, but I can't help it. You know the movie Chariots of Fire, when the two, like, they're kind of looking for each other, and like these two people, and that's, so I'm there in the airport, it's 12 o'clock at night, the plane lands, they come down, people are coming down, and I'm saying to myself, I hope I recognize him. I know, I saw him only for 5 minutes of my life. I mean, I think I know what he looks like, but people are coming down and coming down and coming down, and finally, there he is, walking down, and there I am, and all of a sudden we see each other. It's like slow motion. The music is going, it's unbelievable. We see each other, we hug each other, and he's so happy to come. So Martin makes it to New York. The very next day, we come here to Yeshiva University for him to sign up. They're very, very nice, lovely. They give him all classes that he has to sign up for. He's excited. We walk out right here on Amsterdam Avenue. Richard Joel is the president of Yeshiva University then. He sees me walking with Martin Leibowitz. He says to me, "Ah, Steve, I know who this guy is. He's a future basketball star of Yeshiva University." I said, no. He's the future chief rabbi of Argentina. That's who he is. Anyway, Richard Joel says to him, "Okay, listen, welcome. So happy to have you. When you settle in, come over to my house for Shabbos. We'd love to have you." And he walks away, and Martin says to me, "Who is that guy?" I said, "Well, he's the president of the University. Didn't the president of Barry University invite you for Shabbos?" And that's what happened. Anyway, he comes to Yeshiva University. He's extremely happy here. Yes, he becomes a great basketball player. Before they knew about great basketball players, okay? Very, very good basketball player. He wins all kind of awards, and he's like all city and all kind of things. And the first game, the very first game, basketball game, here, right here, my family came, we all came. My granddaughter Shira, who's now, I don't know how old, whatever, 16 or something, whatever. She was about three years old. She had a big sign, "I am Martin's youngest fan." And we came to the game, and all of us were there, and I hadn't seen Martin in a little while. The game comes out, all the players come out, and Martin comes out. He must be wearing a yarmulke with about 42 bobby pins, because he wants to make sure it doesn't fall out. And they start, and they sing the Star Spangled Banner, and they sing the HaTikvah. And I told Martin, I said, "Martin, you know, when you play for Yeshiva University, you're not just playing for Yeshiva University, you're playing for the Jews all over the world." And I watched as they started the HaTikvah, and I watched the tears coming down his eyes. The same tears I saw in that little room in Buenos Aires when I met him. And our tears were coming down. And his parents' tears were watching. It came down also. And he started, he played great, he was fantastic. He came to Yeshiva University, he did fantastically well. He loved the Rabbeim, he loved the teachers, he loved everything about it. People loved him here, people loved him at YU. Whenever they called him Ginobili, there's a basketball player who called Ginobili, he played, I think, for San Antonio Spurs, he spoke Spanish. One thing I can tell you, there may be people more popular, but nobody was more popular with the security guards and everybody else than Martin. Because he spoke to them all the time. But if I'd want to come to Yeshiva University and I want to get into a game, I didn't mention anyone's name. I just said, Ginobili. They go, "Oh, Ginobili, yeah, come." Anyway, so Martin was here. He loved it. Graduated Yeshiva University. He got all kind of awards when he was here. They honored him at one of the dinners. Just a wonderful, Baal Chesed, sweet, a mensch, incredible person. He started, he got a great job as an investment banker, was working, did very, very well. But he wanted to, you know, we always were looking for shidduchim for him, always. Because people were calling us all the time. We were kind of like a surrogate parents. But it didn't work out. He goes back to Argentina for vacation. He comes to Argentina. He sees all his old friends. "Martin, how are you? How's everything? Great." And they say to him, "By the way, have you seen Pamela?" "Pamela? I don't know. We haven't seen each other in a long time." "Well, you know, because of what happened, she went to Israel, and she went to study in the yeshiva. And she's a Balat Tshuva now." "What?" And he found her, rekindled the love, and they got engaged, they got married. And she really wanted to stay in Argentina, so he decided, he spoke to his company, they gave him a great job, he was able to stay in Argentina, and he would work in the morning, he'd learn in the afternoon, and he kept helping out with all kinds of things. Over time, he did more and more work for NCSY. I'm going to cut the story short. Today, Martin Leibovich is the NCSY director in Buenos Aires, Argentina. That's what he is. And he's changing thousands and thousands and thousands of lives. You have no idea what he's done in that particular country. He's amazing. And he calls us all the time. We speak to him all the time. As a matter of fact, just literally 2 weeks ago, in Orlando, when my family came, he happened to be there. He came with his entire family, with his father and mother. He came with his brothers, came with his sister, and we had the most wonderful, wonderful dinner. I asked his parents, what did you think when your son came home and this crazy man asked him to go to Yeshiva University? They said, look, you know, we didn't know anything about it. We had no idea, but Martin, we knew Martin always was trying to become Jewish. So in any event, what happened is Martin today, as Smicha from NCSY program, he's the director, and he's changing lives. And I think about all the time the same question. So what would have happened if I didn't realize I had a magic moment, I didn't have a Kantzipur moment? What would have happened? Yeah, I'm a good guy. I didn't go to Argentina to learn tango. I went there because I was doing great work. I had meetings set up day and night. And I said, one day, after 120, God would go say to me, oh, Savitsky, you think you're a smart guy, right? Yeah, remember when you went to Argentina, Buenos Aires? You remember when you were in that little room? Let me play the video for you. You see that little boy? You see that boy crying? How come you walked out? Why didn't you do anything? I'm going, well, I was busy. I had a... What? I put you in that place in that time. I put you in that room for a particular reason, and you didn't even realize it? Could you imagine... That's a Kantzipur moment. That's the mitzvah of the Kantzipur. It's not just taking and sending away the mother bird. It's looking at life and understanding that every single day, God puts us in a particular place at a particular time for a particular reason. And that's the reason I wrote the book. I wrote the book because I really want to make people observant Jews. Because if you're not an observant Jew, then you know what? You're never going to have an opportunity to do a Kantzipur moment. That's what it's about. And that's why I'm so thrilled about the book and what it's doing. All the great stories that people told me all the years, I put them in my book. All true stories. I know there are people who always say, the stories I tell are either true or will be true. My stories are true. Every one of them is true. Every one of them is a real story from a real person about how this changed their life. And I hope that by writing the book, people will realize that by becoming an observant Jew, they could change their lives, their own lives, the lives of Jewish people. And that's the whole idea behind Kantzipur. So I hope that you appreciate it. I hope that in your lifetime, you also will find Kantzipur moments. Because as God said, L'man yitov lach, you'll feel so good about yourself. V'harachta yamim, your days will be lengthened, because you'll feel so good about yourself. But it's not going to happen because you went out to do it. It's going to happen because literally, ki yikarei lecha b'derach. When you're in the store, when you're on the plane, wherever you are, there's an opportunity. So thank you very much for listening, and I hope you enjoy. Okay. Another question.
I now understand a midrash that I happened to see yesterday on the parsha,
okay.
Very briefly, on the words Vayikra Shem Hamakom Masom Riva. It says the midrash, I saw it in the Torah Shlomo. The place itself called the name. Not that people called the place the place itself. By your cross, the place itself, that was
right.
Bad things, and of course you tell us of good things.
You know what? That's interesting also, because maybe it was that place in that shul in Buenos Aires that was calling out. The place itself was calling out to me and said, come. Yes.
Hi, I just have to say that I'm Shoshana Shachter.
Of course, everybody knows.
Have to say that I can't even tell you how many students I have, not just from Argentina, but from other South American countries, and your granddaughter could back me up on this one, who are in Stern College now, strengthening their Jewish identity because Martin
right.
met them in whatever South American countries, it's not right. just Argentina. So I just want to tell you that it's certainly passing it on.
Right, thank you.
And all these girls are connected now because of
right.
that.
Yes, listen, it just goes on and on and on and on.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it means, like, the Harach L'Yamim, like your impact lasts longer than
Ah, very good. Right? You keep going on and on and on. So we learned two beautiful things. That the Shem HaMakom, the place itself. Remember, it's Vayikare with an Aleph. It's calling out to you. God is calling out to you. And he calls out to you. And you read the book, you'll see some of the stories. One is about someone who met someone, my daughter, Penina, in Burlington Coat Factory. Okay? One is about a person who was sitting Shiva for their father in Eretz Yisrael. Literally in 2 moments, he had to make a decision. One was about a friend he met in the street. One is on a plane. You know, there's so many stories, it's just unbelievable. And a story, another story of mine about a friend at my daughter's Esti's wedding. A moment, a concierge moment. So hopefully look around, become an observant Jew, and great things will happen. Okay, thank you so much.